I'm here to tell you this morning on Resurrection Sunday, it's not found in a comic book, it's not found in a politician, and it's definitely not found in a pastor or a church. It's found in the one who was resurrected 2,000 years ago, and his name is Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? You can put your hands together for that one today, church. I know in my own life, even when I was a little lad, I was looking for heroes. And maybe you were the same way. I looked for teachers, looked at coaches, and yes, even my dad. And every single time I was disappointed. And it wasn't until I found the one his name is Jesus that it really made all the difference in the world. People will let you down. Churches will let you down. You will get disappointed if you focus on anything other than Jesus. He's the one that we need to look at today that makes all the difference in the world. The reason why he's my hero, you ready? The reason why he's my hero today is because he chose me. Isn't that good? He chose me. What I know to be true is that he is and able to choose me, and he's able to choose you. How many of you have ever been when you were young and they started choosing teams and you were the last one chose? Was I the only one that had happened to? Come on. I'm here to tell you on Resurrection Sunday that he chose you and me, and we're all first round draft choices. Isn't that good news? He chose every single one of us. That makes a huge difference. That's why he's my hero. I know that he didn't just choose me, but he believes in me. Can somebody say amen? Amen. He believes in me. Now, my mom's in the crowd. She's always believed in me. But there's one who created me that nobody could ever believe in me more than him. And just like he believes in me, he believes in you. He chose you. He believes in you. And you say, really? I say, really. He believes in you. Catch this. When you don't believe in yourself, he still believes in you. That's good news today, to have a hero that believes in us when nothing else. He sacrificed for me. He sacrificed for you. Do you realize that today? Is if you were the only one on this planet today, he would have sacrificed for you. He took your place on the cross. He substituted for you today. He sacrificed for all of us today. That makes incredible. He chose me. He loves me. He believes in me. He sacrificed for me. I don't know about you, but that is truly the ability to have a hero. Can somebody say amen? Here's what I want to do today. You can pull out your notes. I want to do a couple of thoughts from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The first point that I want to say to you today as a sense of encouragement to each and every one of us is that Jesus brings us hope. Can somebody repeat after me? Say, there's hope in Jesus. Look at somebody and say, there is hope in Jesus. I think you actually believe it. Now, here's what I want you to know today about that hope. That hope is greater than anything else that you and I are facing today. Is that right? There is hope today, regardless of what you are hearing on the news, regardless of what pain you're going through. You have any doubts today? This hope is greater than the doubt. You have any loneliness today? This hope is greater than those. This hope surpasses all of those things. He, in our pains and in our struggles, this is the hope of the victory of the cross. The Bible is completely full of hope. Did you know that? What I know about the Bible is this. You ready? And it's really important for you to understand. There was hope in a man named Moses when he encountered God at a burning bush. And at a burning bush, he said to him, and the bush did not burn up, Moses, I am that I am. I want you to go. But Lord, I stutter. And he gives Moses hope, and he says, I want you to go to be my man. There was hope in a boat when an entire human race was going to implode. And God said to Noah, I'm starting over with you. I still have hope in one family. We will do this another time, and we will do it right. There was a hope in a guy named Joshua when they marched around a wall that was so amazing that they were intimidated. But he threw out a shout of praise, and in that moment, they watched the walls come tumbling down. There was hope when a little boy named David went up against a 9-foot giant, and he intimidated an entire nation of Israel. But that little boy named David said, you come at me with sword, you come at me with spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Be slay. And there was hope in that moment, my friends. There was hope in the den of a lion where there was a guy named Daniel who would not compromise when everybody else compromised. And he would stand to his last breath. And when he was thrown into the den of the lions in that moment, God closed the mouth of the lions. And everybody said, where does this hope come from? from. And then there were three Hebrew children who also would not compromise, and they threw them into a fiery furnace, and they looked into that fiery furnace, and they saw that they were not burned up, but they didn't see three, my friends. They saw four. They saw the Lord God there with them in that moment, my friends. I'm here to tell you today, there is hope in a pit. There was a pit named Jeremiah, and he was thrown in that pit, and in that moment, God lifted him out of that pit and said, you weren't made for a pit. You were made to be victorious, and there is hope in Jesus Christ. There were 12 disciples on a boat, and there was a massive storm that came around, and they thought for sure their boat was going to turn over, but it was in that moment Jesus was walking on the water. He came towards the boat, and he said, be still, and the waves were no more, and the storm was no more, and in that moment, there was hope, and he said to John the Baptist when he was about to be killed, did you not see that I healed the lame? I have made those who could not speak again. I was the one that is the answer to the world. There is hope in me today. And then when they put him on the cross on Friday, we saw that we should have been there, but they thought that they had won in that moment. But we are here today to celebrate that there is hope because he rose on the third day and he is still the hope of the world. Can somebody say amen? Well, that's enough preaching for an entire day right there, I'm sure to tell you. But in verse 2, he says there's good news because you and I have the ability to be saved. What is that salvation from? The Bible's very clear. Every single one of us has fallen short of the glory of God. We can't earn it. We can't get it. There's only one who can save us. His name is Christ. And he said it's for every single one of you. He chose you. You're here not by mistake. You can walk away. You can deny it. You can ignore it. But that doesn't change the fact that he loves you, he's chasing after you, and he desires to save you from a boat that's sinking and saying, I am here, I am the salvation, and it's for you today. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Not only that, my friends, we then can be able to live with hope today. What I know to be true is that I am able to live with hope because I have been loved like I've never experienced in my life. It was 1982. I was a little kid from the state of Indiana, and I went to a youth camp up in Michigan. And I said, hey, God, are you real? He so loved me in that moment when I prayed a simple prayer. It's supernaturally, and if it doesn't make sense to you, I can't tell you anything other than through my life what happened. It was in that moment I sensed the love of God like I had never sensed anything in my life. And it so transformed, so changed my life, even through the difficult times, even through the challenges. I have never turned away from the one who has called me. And Scripture says, surely nothing, absolutely nothing, will ever be able to take you out of my hands. I want you to know today that I am loved, and that's an incredible amount of hope. Can somebody say amen? Amen. I am here to tell you that there is hope today because I am forgiven. The Bible tells us if we confess, what is he? He is faithful and he is just and he will forgive. You're sitting here right now, some of you are thinking, I'm the only one. If they only knew what I just did, if they only knew what I just thought, if they only knew what my attitude was. And I'm here to tell you that every single one of us are in the same boat. And he said to us, I can forgive. You're saying he can forgive my sin. I'm here to tell you today that the cross is big enough, strong enough for any of your sin. I don't care what it is, where you've been, what you've done. It's able, it's powerful, and it's for you today. Can I get an amen? Having said that, this cycle of unforgiveness can be broken. This cycle of unforgiveness, once you're forgiven, and the unforgiveness that you hold in your heart towards this person or that person and my family or my friends, and I don't want to let go of that pain. Once I'm actually forgiven, then I have the ability to forgive, and something transforms inside of me. And most importantly, I understand that I can have hope today because I can bring hope to the hurting. I can bring hope to the hurting. I can bring hope to the lost. The Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When I read Scripture, everyone literally means everyone. I don't need to understand the Greek. I surely get it. Everyone means everyone. Can somebody say everyone? Everyone. That is, everyone that gets calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How can they call on the one whom they've not believed? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear unless somebody tells them? And how can somebody tell them unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful the feet of those who bring good news. Jesus said, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. When, Lord? When I was naked and you visited and you clothed me, when I was in jail and you visited me, and I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty and you gave me some water. He said, when you've done it unto the least of them, you've done it unto me. And I'm here to tell you today, as Mosaic, we are committed to not to be a taker. We are committed to be a church that's a giver. We're not committed to abuse. We're here to give ointment of healing. We're not here to be political. We're here to say the kingdom of God is above every political bend. Can I get an amen today? That's what I know to be true today. And we get that opportunity this next Saturday to go and be the hands and feet of Jesus Saturday morning at 8 a.m. because we have the hope that Jesus only alone gives in each of our lives. I realize today that I have hope because I know that my life can make a difference. And I don't know what your situation has been or what your situation is not. But once you start to realize that your life, catch it, once your life can make a difference, that will change everything. Every single one of you in this room, God wants to use your life. He wants to give you purpose, and he wants you to make an impact, and he wants you to change the world. That's the hope of Christ today at resurrection. Can somebody say amen? Amen. The second point I want to say to you is not just Jesus gives hope. The second thing you'll see here is Jesus gives us assurance. Would you repeat after me? We are secure in Jesus. Look at somebody and say, we are secure in Jesus. What do we know from this passage? We know that Jesus died and people started to doubt, right? Because dead men don't rise from the dead. It simply doesn't happen. So the disciples are like, and all the followers and all the people who've been touched by Jesus, kind of like, the thing's over with. The movement's done. We can't do anything about this. Jesus is dead. But in that moment, what happens? On the third day, Jesus rises from the dead. He appears to Peter, it says. I read it to you. Then he's appearing to the apostles, and then he appears to 500. Catch this. You want some assurance today? Do you really want to know it's true? Think about this for just a second. Think about this for 1 second. If, in fact, this was a lie, if this was a lie, it would have been so easy in that moment for the religious establishment to actually contradict all of their stories. To have over 500 people actually have seen Jesus, but lie about it, they would have seen some sort of flaw in their story. But I'm here to tell you today that there was no ability for them to actually contradict the story, because the reality is they actually saw Jesus. That was the first thing. The second thing is they never found the body. Can somebody say amen? Some people will say that Jesus did not even live. I'm here to tell you, outside of the Bible, you go to a Jewish historian. His name is Josephus, who's not a follower of Jesus. He was a Jew. If you read his historical writings, he will validate that Jesus of Nazarene actually existed. There is no doubt. There is no pie in the sky faith. Jesus was on the earth and he lived. And when he was crucified, as they told us in historical context, they could never, ever produce a body. You and I know why. Everyone else is baffled, and they're still trying in 2017 to say, we got to find the body. And you and I know the body's coming back, but this time he's coming on a horse, and he's going to come and he's going to change the world. It is good news today. In the heat of desert storm, there was a mother named Ruth who received that horrible phone call about her son Clayton, private first class, stepped on a mine in Kuwait, and was dead. Ruth later wrote this: I can't begin to describe my grief and my shock. It was almost more than I could bear. For 3 days I wept. For 3 days I expressed anger and loss. For 3 days people tried to comfort me to no avail, because the loss was too great. But 3 days after she received that message, the telephone rang again. The voice on the other end was a voice that she thought she couldn't think was possible. Mom. Mom, it's me. I'm not dead. I'm alive. They made a mistake. I'm alive, Mom. She said, I laughed. I felt like turning cartwheels because my son, whom I thought was dead, was really alive. I'm sure none of you can even begin to understand how I felt, but my son, who I thought was dead, is now alive. My friends, 3 days later, 500 of them, and the disciples themselves, they were lost for words. They were in grief, but when they saw him face to face, when Thomas actually put his hands in the side, it was in that moment that the world was changed and it was over with. Now, here's the crazy thing about it. These disciples, who were not only cowards, but they ran for their lives. After they saw the resurrected Christ, every single one of them died a martyr's death. I don't know about you, my friends, but I don't know anybody on this planet that dies for a lie. Nobody dies for a lie. Everybody dies for what they think is truth. These folks said, we saw Jesus, now we can't turn back. They said, we're going to kill you. Kill me as you may, but the fact remains the same. He was risen from the dead. I will take that to my grave and I will go to be with him. That's transformation more than anything that gives us assurance. And the greatest assurance, my friends, that you and I can have today when nothing else holds on to us is this. It's our own life. It's our own life. Think back on when you experienced him. Think back when he changed your heart like he did in mine in 1982. When you know that you know that you know that he has done that, when nothing else holds, it's in that moment, the assurance of your own life, when Jesus, the resurrected Christ, comes in and makes all the difference in the world. That's what makes all the difference. And I'm here to tell you today, he changed history, and here today, he's still changing lives. Can I get an amen? I look out on this crowd today, and we are a young church. Carlos, you killed it. Let's give Carlos a hand today. Testimony to assurance. I was this, I was that, but I'm here to stand before you today. The dude was nervous, but he knew that he knew what Jesus did in his life. He says, I will not stand back and be quiet anymore. I will make that declaration. Chanel's story is amazing. She's going to Sri Lanka with me in just a month or so. She is a young lady who has a passion for God. Her story is such that she was struggling to even make ends meet, living out of her car, but saying, I believe in my Lord and I will continue to forward. Today she started her own business. Today she's going to school. Today she's making a difference because of Jesus Christ made in her life. I look at Clyde DeGlide sitting right here in the middle, who would testify to you, I struggled for 30 years, he said to us on Thursday, but today you'd stand up and say, I've been changed and I've been redeemed because of my Lord Jesus Christ. Drugs, alcohol, no longer have control of my life. And my brother Reggie, who last week got baptized before all of you and said, I was walking coma, but today I get baptized last week saying, I am following Jesus and I'm not turning back. Let's give Reggie a hand. I got all the young people over here, Miguel, Ryan, Maya, and all the others who are following Jesus as teenagers when everybody else says it's cool to be wild, crazy, and all the rest. These kids are making a stand. They're going to Haiti with me this summer. They're making their chances. They're learning their books. They're making a difference. When everybody else says young people can't, they're following Jesus today. I got to give you one more. I get so excited. And right here is my brother Ronnie. Ronnie will say to you, he says to me, I don't know if this thing works or not, but I'm going to try it. And then he said to me the other day, I'm going to try it. And he starts to pray. And Michael says about Ronnie, all of a sudden Ronnie's smiling. All of a sudden Ronnie's got a job. All of a sudden Ronnie's free from drugs and alcohol. All of a sudden Ronnie's saying, this Jesus thing's work. All right, all of a sudden there's Ronnie. I could go on, and we're just a young church. Jesus not only gives us, he gives us assurance because of our own lives. And the Bible says, let us not give up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another all the more as we see the day of Christ approaching. Can I get an amen? Amen. You know what? I want to give you one more thought here today. And that is Jesus. I preached this last week, but on Resurrection Sunday, I got to do it anyways. Well, let me just say this. If you go to any church on Easter and they preach anything other than the message I'm preaching about resurrection, run as fast as your legs can carry you, because it should be the same message every single year that Jesus is alive and well and rose from the dead. Can somebody say amen? We will continue to remind it. We will teach it to our kids and to the next generation that he is the hope of the world. The final point you'll see there is that Jesus brings victory. Would you repeat after me? Say, there's victory in Jesus. Victory. Say it again. There's victory in Jesus. Victory. Oh, how many of you like to win today? Does anybody like to win? If some of you need to know, for those of you new, I am an athletic nut and I love sports. I waited for my entire life for the Chicago Cubs to win the World Series. I was told it would took 108 years, the worst professional sport team in the history of the United States of America, 108 years. But last year, 2016, at 1 a.m. on that fall evening with Joe, Katie, and my wife, we watched miracle upon miracle, and even God blessed us and allowed allowed a rainstorm to come to stop the momentum, and we came back and won in extra innings. And I want you to know about victory. I danced, I partied, I went berserk in my house because I don't have a problem celebrating victory. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, there's a whole bigger story than the victory of the Chicago Cubs, is there not? And the victory of the Chicago of Jesus Christ is, he wants you and I to understand, is this, is everyone wants to win. And I have good news for you. Every single one of us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will win this thing. Can I get an amen? Amen. He said, I am bringing a new kingdom, a kingdom that will change you from the inside out. This new kingdom, eventually, when Christ comes back, will also bring a physical kingdom, because there will be, catch this, you guys ready? There's going to be a new earth. Anybody excited about that? This earth will be transformed into the earth that it was meant to be. Romans chapter 8 says the creation groans in eager expectation to one day to be delivered. It now suffers the curse of sin itself, but one day when Christ comes back, we know that the victory is restored, that the earth will be as it should be. No more cyclones and no more earthquakes and no more famine. We will see the earth as it is. Not only that, my friends, we ourselves will be given a new body. Can anybody say amen to that? I know that it says to us right here in Corinthians 15, we at a twinkling of an eye, we will be transformed from perishable to imperishable. We know that though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And what I want you to know today, we have to hold on to that truth like nobody's business when everything else seems going sideways and upside down. We know that at the end days, there is victory granted to every single one of us. There will be a new heaven and there will be a new earth. And we know that Satan will be defeated. Revelation 20, he will be thrown into the lake of fire for all of eternity. We know that death itself will no longer have any sting. Death itself will be swallowed up, and you and I will have no more tears, no more sorrow. We will then understand. He said, I have gone to prepare a place for you. And where I have gone, I will come back to take you to be with me. And on that day, we will have the assurance. So we keep our eyes focused on what is, not what is not. We know by faith that he is coming back very soon because of what he has done. And this time, everybody will know that it is going to make a difference in the world. Jesus clearly says to us what the world is all about is we feed on the bad and the ugly. We feed on the bad and the ugly, but I'm here this morning to give you the motivation to know this, that there's going to be a throne room. Yes, there is. A throne room that is so massive that you and I will not be able to count it. You read it in the book of Revelation chapter 7. It will be so amazing that we will not be able to count. I get excited even telling you about it today, my friends. And I am believing that in that throne room, that it will be a circular throne. And on the center of that throne, his name is the Lion of Judah. His name is the Bread of Life. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he will be there. And it says that every tribe, every language, and every people group will be there. I'm here to tell you, according to Revelation chapter 6, all of the martyrs, we prayed last week for the brothers and sisters in Egypt and the martyrdom that happened there. I'm here to tell you, all of those and many others like them, they will be close up to the front of the throne, in my opinion. But I will be back in the and near the back, because I have never sacrificed to the extent of the brothers and sisters who gave it all for him. But I'm here to tell you, it will be worthy. It will be worthy of that moment. In that moment, we will sing, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And in that moment, everything will make sense. Everything that you and I have been going through. The Bible tells us that our present, catch this, our present situations are not worth comparing to the glory of that day when it will be revealed to us. It will be worth it. Can somebody say amen? Amen. We know that to be true with nobody's business. And I can here tell you today that we believe this to be true. I have a friend in Turkey with 60 million people and less than 1% Christian who says, we're going to see a revival in the land of Turkey today. This next week, I will go on Tuesday through Saturday. I'll be back preaching next Sunday to Europe. I will preach and I will train 100 European leaders. And these young men and women believe they can change the course of Europe. I will meet with brothers and sisters from Russia who believe it will be the next generation, that they are planting the seed and they are making the ground ready for harvest. And I will meet those who are in the Republic of Czech and Hungary and Budapest and Poland and all the various Austria. And they are all going to believe and dream that God is going to expect great things from them. I'm here to tell you today that those things are actually going to happen. I can tell you about Azerbaijan, where I was for 10 years, where the believers there are in a minority and many of them persecuted and thrown into jail. They believe their perseverance will pay off, and one day very soon, they will see the victory that God has promised to them. The question of Jesus is this. He says, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. I'll say it, I've said it once, I've said it a million times, I'm going to say it again this morning. Let's finish the mission and go home. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Let's finish the mission and go home. So Jesus gives us the victory. He gives us assurance. He gives us hope. We know that to be true from Scripture. The question to you today is simply this. Which team are you going to choose to be on? What I love about Joshua, who followed the greatest leader of all time, Moses, and the nation was starting to wonder who they were going to follow. The nation started to wonder which God they were going to actually serve. And Joshua stood up to them all. His entire family, armed, connected. And he says, choose this day who you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And I stand to you today, and I want you to understand clearly, although that was thousands of years ago, in 2017, wherever you are on your journey, he's asking you and he's asking me. I'm here to tell you, I know that I know since 1982. If not one of you says I will follow the Lord, I will follow the Lord. My family, Morgan, Michaela, Mickey, and Melanie, arm in arm, locked in, we will serve the Lord till our last breath. But I'm asking you to make that same choice today, where you're now becoming a minority, where it's not politically correct to say Jesus is the way. Where you start to realize that I can't even say that Jesus forgives sins. I have to say all ways lead to God. Well, as soon as you start to say that, walk away from Scripture, because no longer do you have absolute truth. We follow Scripture, not the political correctness of today. We follow what the Bible says. That is our hope, nothing else. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So, in conclusion, today it's my desire that you were not here by mistake, and that God wants some of you to make that step and to literally say, I want to follow Jesus with everything that I have. I want to, just like I did when I didn't know whether he existed or not. Catch this. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about tradition. I'm not talking about being good. I'm talking about an intimate relationship with God. The question is simple. Do you have it? Yes or no? I'm going to give you an opportunity to have it. This moment, would you bow your heads with me? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here. I'm going to pray. Lord God, if I have said something that's not of you, I pray those words will go away. But if I have said something that's of you, I pray you would not allow us to get away from it, that you would speak because your servants have been listening, and you would give us all that we need in this moment, and that your power and your spirit would truly enable us in the few moments that we have to truly be the men and the women you called us to be. Speak because your servants have been listening. Speak because your servants have been listening. Hallelujah. Here's what I'd like for you to do. Everybody stand with me. Everybody stand right now. Go ahead and stand. Look this way. Here's my call. Some of you will feel uncomfortable with this, and that's okay. I do not care what you've been, what you've done to this point. What I care is this very moment. The one thing that will keep you out of the kingdom of God, you ready? The one thing that will keep you out of the kingdom of God, are you ready? Is you. Your own pride, your own image. And all I know is you have to be willing to bow a knee. For the Bible tells us that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. My role is to tell you the truth. Your role is to decide whether you believe it or not. But I will give an account, Hebrews 13:17, as a leader. So I'm telling you the truth. What team are you on? Again, let me repeat. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about church attendance. I'm not talking about tithe. I'm not talking about being good. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. That you know that he lives in your heart. And that even though you're not perfect, you are striving, that you are forgiven. If you do not know that today, with this being played, I'm going to invite those who, for the very first time, would like to invite Jesus into their life, just like I did in 1982. You would like to invite him into your life. Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If anybody opens up the door, I will come in and have fellowship with him and he with me or she with me. You're not here by mistake. Is there anybody here in this room that you do not have a relationship with Jesus, but for the very first time, you would like to say, I need Jesus, and I have the humility to come forward right now and to kneel and to ask him into my life? And if there's anybody for the very first time, clearly understand this, for the very first time, I would invite you right now, with everybody looking, with no emotional appeal. That's my call, my first call. I have two calls. That's my first call. And if that is you, as the piano's playing, I'd like for you to move into the aisle and come and kneel here. We'd like to support you. If you've never asked Christ into your life, for the first time you'd like that. Is there anybody in this room that would be the case? I'll give you a moment. My second call is this. You need to recommit your life to Christ. Yeah, a long time ago you said yes to Jesus, but you've been in the exile. You've been wandering for 40 years in the desert. You've been saying, I'm doing it my way. And today you surrender and say, enough. On Resurrection Sunday, I will allow his victory to be alive in my life today, and I choose to follow him. Again, it takes a lot of courage. Is there anybody here today that would get out of their seat right now and come and kneel and say, I'm recommitting my life to Jesus? Now would be the time to do that. Come and kneel right now, right here. Don't delay. I'm going to follow him with everything I've got. Would you bow your heads with me? Anybody else that wants to come, you can come now as we get a chance. I'm going to ask a few people to come behind these that are praying. Lord Jesus, we recommit our lives to you. We pray that today you would enable us to follow you. The Bible tells us that if one turns from their way, that you can change everything. And I'm grateful today that you are a God that hears our cry and hears our prayer. Do something new and fresh in them and seal the deal of what you've done in their lives. And I pray that today you would give them a fresh new touch from you, that they would know greater is he who is in them than he was in the world. I pray that you would be real and honest to them as they're real and honest to you, God, and that you'd meet them right where they're at right now. Refresh them fresh and new tonight. And I commit them and I put them into your hands. I commit them to you right now. It's in Jesus' name that I pray, and all God's people said, amen. I'm going to ask those who are kneeling, you can stay, and I'm going to ask those behind them, you can pray with them and talk to them for a second. I'm going to rest through you. We're going to close by worshiping in song and worshiping by giving of his tithes and offerings. So I'm going to ask the worship team to lead us and the rest of you to continue to worship. Let's go.